Blog Talk Radio.
Computer on.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship
Mele
Prize. Its 5-year mission to explore.
That good help candy, baby.
To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no has gone before.
It is time for the hottest show on the internet. It is Wrecking the Game Radio with your host, DJ Smith. And international
call.
It is the
interface complete.
Oh. Yeah, we are live right here on the Starship Smelly Prize. Special show today, man. Got a special show for you. Getting right into it, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a special show today. Today is We Remember Richard Pryor Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? This show is dedicated to one of the great pioneers of comedy, one who helped influence many comedians of the day. So I will be playing specially edited clips with music in the background of his stand-up routines that I personally edited, put together. So I'm just asking everybody, you know what I'm saying, out there, Radio Land, Wrecking the Game Radio Land, please call in and voice your love for the late, great Richard Pryor, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you got any, you know, special stories or you went to one of his concerts or something like that, you know what I'm saying, come through and share a little history. I'm stealing a little background info and stuff from him. I'm going to read that to you from richardpryor.com. And we're at the top and says, I ain't dead yet, motherfucker. And we're going to get into it. I'm going to give you extensive background on the late, great Richard Pryor, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, you know what I'm saying, we're going to do what we do. So, without further ado, I want to start this thing off with one track that I have for Mr. Richard Pryor. And I'm going to come back, give you all a little background on it, a little biography. And then after the biography, you know what I'm saying, we're going to get into some more conversation about the man, you know what I'm saying? Sup, Easy Rider, you know what I'm saying? Easy Rider at the building representing Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Check him out at www.bid66.com, man, where you can go and get all your cheap shit, you know what I'm saying, by bidding on different items, miscellaneous items. And, yeah, Easy Rider got it going down. So check it out, www.bid66.com, man, live right here on Record of Game Radio. It's boy DJ Smell So Good in the building. And this is special dedication, man. My dog, Mr. Richard Pryor.
I've been married about four times. Married to the white and the black. There is no difference except subtle shit you can pull on the white women that you can't pull on the black women. You know, like in an argument or something, you can pull that shit like, hey, baby, it's a black thing. Well, black man, you don't understand or get the motivation of the black man, you understand?
Oh, yes, sir, I'm so sorry. I get them all. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Black women, you cannot do that. But once, and they get that motherfucker, the head, they're gone. You know, crazy. I'm my motherfucker. Oh, yeah, that's gonna be the ass. So you shouldn't have had the bitch in there the first time. Yeah, you bad now. Be bad now. And then you end up, hey, darling, no, dear. I'm just kidding. Go over here. I won't do anything. We like pussy, don't we, man? That's something that's good all the time. No, I mean, the worst pussy ever gonna be in life is good. And women know it. No matter what you say to a woman in an argument, you can't win because they know, I'm not the pussy. was good. And sometimes you hear men say, that's a bad pussy. You know, and you women might believe that shit, man. If there's any ladies here tonight that think they got a bad pussy, I'd like to see you after the show. I'd like to give a second opinion. But we're lucky women fuckers and all now because they got them machines and shit. Why you ever seen them plug them bad boys in, get them numbers and shit? And you be standing there with just a dick. Right? So, tell me when it's my turn, will you? That's all right. Thank you. Never mind. I'll come back tomorrow. I don't mind the divorce and shit. They want your money when you get divorced. And I'll be going, wait, bitch, you ain't told me a joke. Well, maybe you'll think this is funny. Hand you some papers from a lawyer and shit right here. Holy shit, that is funny. And you feel bad when your lawyer turn on your ass, right?
I think you should settle. No, just take my advice, settle. She's going to say a lot of things that you don't want known.
Say, wait, you going to tell about me and that goat? When I was married, man, I tried to be whatever it is. I tried to do it, whatever the fuck it is. I can't do it. You just have to be a special kind of man to handle that shit. I can't handle it. I mean, I go home, man. Sometimes my wife would start shit that I didn't understand. You know, like,
I don't want those people in this house again.
What? What?
I don't want them here.
Well, you married, you know, you say, fuck it, I'm in love. Maybe I'll try. Maybe I've been wrong three other times. Shit. I'm going to try to make this shit work. Hey, you don't want them in the house, baby? Their ass ain't going to be in the house. Hey, fuck, no, I'll handle it. Don't worry. Hey, you motherfuckers, get out. Oh, partner. Hey, Jack, you got to go. Don't come back no more, mama. Because you got something. My wife seen it. I don't want to get it. You going to be all right with it? This is it, Jack. This is, I'm in love now. You just going to come around no more. I'll meet you around the corner. Then they start talking about come home earlier. Wait, come home? What the fuck is that about?
You're out too late and you do drugs all night and you're just out.
But I'll be having fun. What time is a good time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Hey, I'm wrong. Could be. 10 o'clock. Shit. You'd be in the restaurant eating. Drinking fat. What's the matter, bitch? I gotta be home by 10, Jack. Come home, be a house full of women. I don't know. Be sitting around talking shit. Eating my food. Ask me to serve them something to drink. Say, bitch, who are you?
I'm an old friend of your wife.
Yeah? Are you a nurse? Because that's what she's going to need. You keep fucking with me. Sometimes, though, sometimes you could be in love with somebody and it's great, and you fuck around and marry them. And I don't know, something happened when you get women get married, man, that you've been going a long time, and something about the attitude. Good morning, dear. Good morning. How are you today? Have you been to the bank yet?
Taking a small break out. Let me give y'all a little commentary on this motherfucker right here, man. And I'm going to go down real big. Hold on 1 second. Let me get these doors open real quick. Deuce! I believe, is in the building, that this shit is working right.
Well,
Adam, brother.
Going
down. Well, this is, we remember Richard Pryor Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? Where we planned some audio clips. And, you know, remembering the late, great Richard Pryor, man. You know what I'm saying? One of the pioneers of the game, for the comedy game. And hell, well, shit, it influenced everything past the comedy game. You know what I'm saying? Even into the music industry. A lot of motherfuckers got the influence, cuss words and this type of, that type of shit, you know what I'm saying? All from Richard Pryor back in the day. But today, you know what I'm saying? Paying homage, a little dedication to him, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it do. In a few minutes, I got a new track by Mr. Deuce right here, you know what I'm saying? It's going to come up a little bit after the show. I got to get little Richard out the way and then get into some more music. And that's how we going to do. So what's your memory of old Richard Pryor?
Yeah, when he said, the next time you get up, he said, I ought to take my dick out and piss on you. I want him, so that was the funniest shit I heard of Richard Pryor.
Yeah. I think I got that one of them. I got that album, too. We're talking about, y'all in the good seats. The shit ain't funny.
Pull my dick out
and I piss on everybody. It's called the Garden Road.
Yeah.
Y'all sitting in the garden. This is the good seats.
Yeah.
That real nigga shit, man. Yeah. I got a few clips that I uploaded. You know, I got some actual Richard Pryor CDs that's going to be coming out. And, you know, like, they got the music and everything remixed to them, you know what I'm saying? I put some beats and shit to them. So you could actually, you know what I'm saying, listen to it instead of having to hear talking straight up, you know what I'm saying? So I know I'm going to be debuting them pretty soon. And don't forget everybody out there in the listening world, man. We got the official second annual 420 Puff Piff Party. You know what I'm saying? It's going down at the Double Decker right here in Tampa Bay, Florida. Make sure y'all check that out. Tickets go on sale this weekend, all the way up until the day of the event. $10 in advance of VIP. Get your free food, free blunts, free parking. It's going down real big. And it's also the jump-off night for Touch the Mic Tuesday. So all artists are welcome to come out. Comedians, spoken word artists, country, I don't give a fuck what you do. If you can say something on the mic, goddamn, come out and do that shit on the mic. Because that's what we're going to be doing for the whole time. So if you want to hold on, home in, you know what I'm saying? I got to get into another track real quick before I come back and give some Richard Pryor bio. And then after the another news, we'll be getting into some more independent music. I hear live. Let's start this
stuff. Shit, man, that's hard work. I used to box when I was about 16. I was good in the gym. You know, hitting the heavy bag and shit. Bang, bang, bang. Cause the bag didn't move. But you start boxing, niggas, they be talking about. Say, hey, coach, what about this shit here? This motherfucker moving. And my coach always say, stick and move, stick and move. And I always box them niggas that look like they just killed their parents. You know them rough niggas, you know, you could strike a match in the palm of their hand. Niggas that come out and be beating themselves up. Beat them up. I said, he don't give a fuck about me. He beating his own ass. You know he care less than a fuck about me out here. Right, and your coach say, stick and move, stick and move. And when you have your first boxing, you be scared of the motherfucker. Then you get one in, you pip. Huh? Wow, shit. Hey, goddamn. Bing, shit. And I left one out there too long one time. And I saw the nigga's eyes say, I'm gonna kill them ribs. And I saw this big ass fist come at me in slow motion. Ooh. I'm talking about way back from Georgia, some motherfucker. My body just said, oh shit.
I said, pull your arm back. I was cool, yeah. I said, just pull your arm back, block the punch, and counter with your right. But my arm said, I ain't got nothing to do with it. Oh! 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 You ever have air leave your body? Air just said, fuck it! And the nigga saw I was in trouble. Nigga said, oh, you want some air? And I kept trying to fall. But my legs was in good shape. My legs said, why should we fall? Ain't nobody hit us. You gonna make us look bad because you can't take our ass, woman? You better stand your ass back up there, you know? I had one motherfucker whip me so good, I thought he was playing Kunda with my face. What is it? Come on, 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 come. Don't ever jog, bad for your spine. Run 6 miles a day. When I'm young, you can do that. I can't run about a mile now, maybe. Cause that old be fucking with your legs. Old be dumb. Say, nigga, what the fuck you doing out here? Man, old white man be on the track lapping your ass, right? Come on, buddy, keep it up, keep it up. And Rashawn, who I run with sometimes, Rashawn say, like, run on your toes, keep your mouth closed. I can't get no motherfucking hair now, nigga. You be trying to run with your mouth closed, and you get that pain inside. That made me dumb.
Hello. I'll be fucking with you the next hour or so. I serve no purpose other than to kill your ass. I'll be moving from side to side and down your groin and up your ass. When you drop dead, I will stop.
And you be running and snot and shit and start easing out your knuckles. That's when the women come out, right?
Yeah, it's not hanging on your nose.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And ain't nowhere to put snot either, baby. And you can't wipe that shit on your sweatsuit. Because it'll show off, man. Hello!
See where the asshole put me, don't you? Yeah, that's right, I'm not.
You got to be in shape, though, cause never can tell what will happen. Well, you'd be on the street, somebody could jump on you, your leg gotta be in shape because you have to run. You can get stabbed and shit. Knives just make my heart go, help! I don't even be cool with knives. They just chill me. I just, help! It never gets to my mouth, though. It comes from my heart, though. And motherfuckers never stab you in real life like they do in the movies. You know, in the movies, they make it look like drama. When you see a motherfucker with a knife, run. Fuck all that shit you heard. Run. If you can. If you can't run, fly. But get the fuck out of the way. Knives make blood drip down your arm and out of your heart. I'm not bullshit. In the movies, though, they make it look cool, like cat pulls like, give you a chance to get your jacket off, wrap it around your arm. Come on, Buster. In real life, motherfucker stab you awkward. You be trying to kick that shit out of the way, they cut all that loose. And if they get real mad at you, they stab the ambulance driver when he gets there, right?
Leave the motherfucker alone. I ain't through with the nigga that. Back off.
And you can't fake dead when you've been stabbed. Like I said, blood be easing out, giving you away.
What is it? Oh, you ain't dead, motherfucker. Get your ass up. Got blood all over my motherfucking pants.
All right, trying to do 18 things at motherfucking once, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's how I do. Coming back, let me give y'all a little commentary real quick on this motherfucking man right here. Beemo, goddamn, Deuce back up here real quick. Give y'all some commentary. All right, this commentary, a little brief bio on the man, you know what I'm saying, comes to you from richardpryor.com, man. If you're looking for any, like, you know, kind of, you know, real extensive background information on him, you can go to richardpryor.com and read some more, because I ain't going to read this entire damn bio. The man got a very extensive bio. It goes all the way back to everything, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to read a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Brother Mr. Richard Pryor is from Peoria, Illinois. Poverty to Hollywood affluence. From abandonment by his mother to adoration from millions of fans. From a childhood in a brothel to 8 marriages, twice to the same woman, and 7 children. From tragedy to triumph and back again, Richard Pryor has earned the status of a legend as a masterful storyteller, multi-talented entertainer, and a comic of acerbic wit, and a survivor with no self-pity. Born December 1st, 1940, Richard Franklin Lennox Thomas Pryor III, which is his official government name, became one of the most influential comedians in the history of comedy. Few comics today will talk about their own careers without mentioning inspiration they received from Pryor. A talented yet controversial man, most people either love him unconditionally or hate him passionately, but few ignore him. Damn sure true. One of 4 children raised in his grandmother's brothel, Richard experienced rape at the age of 6 by a teenage neighbor and molestation by a Catholic priest during Catholicism. He watched his mother perform sexual acts with Peoria's mayor. And one way the young boy escaped from these traumatic experiences was to attend the movies. Seated in the black seats at his local cinema, Pryor consumed the screen worlds of such heroes as John Ford and Howard Hawks, stirring within a wild ambition to become a star like them. He was expelled from school for a petty offense at age 14. And began working as a janitor at a local strip club. Work as shoeshine and careers as drummer, meatpacker, truck driver, and billiard hall attendant combined to preordain a perspective of the black underclass in 1950s America that Pryor translated into honest and hilarious routines. Several brushes with the country's penal system gave him firsthand knowledge of the treatment of blacks within it. Ask anyone who has followed Pryor's comedy and the world authentic comes up. But as the Grateful Dead sang, what a long, strange road it's been for the 65 years that Pryor blessed this earth. And as Richard says, I ain't dead yet, motherfucker. Pryor's first introduction to a life of performing came at age 12 when Juliet Whitaker, a supervisor at a public recreational facility in Peoria, cast him in a local production of Rumpelstiltskin. Whitaker was so impressed by Richardson's comic ability that she arranged talent shows to showcase him and continue to influence him throughout his career. While serving in the Army, a brief stint, 1958 to 1960, that ended when he had an altercation with a fellow GI, Pryor performed in many amateur shows. Upon his discharge, he got his first cabaret gig at his hometown Harold's Club, where he played piano and sang badly. Quickly realizing that audiences preferred his jokes to his singing, Pryor began working as a professional comic in clubs throughout the Midwest. This is going to shock a lot of people right here, what I'm about to say. But motherfucking old Billy Bill been doing this thing since way back and before that, so it really shouldn't shock you. If you're a true follower of comedy. So, inspired by Bill Cosby, Pryor went to New York in 1963 and gained recognition for his club work as a stand-up. performing on the same bill as such famous personalities as Bob Dylan and Richie Havens. While in New York, Pryor also garnered some mentorship from none other than the great Woody Allen. Wow, a lot of white influence there. 1966, Pryor penetrated the medium of television, appearing in summer shows such as Rully Ballets on Broadway Tonight and the Kraft Summer Music Hall. These appearances, as well as several on the Ed Sullivan Show and the Johnny Carson and Merv Griffin shows, brought Las Vegas calling. His first foray into Las Vegas was at the opening act for Bobby Darin at the prestigious Flamingo Hotel. But hipper and more controversial than Cosby and other Vegas acts, Pryor found it difficult to conform to the constrained Vegas format and finally walked off stage during a show at the Aladdin in 1969. On a journey to hone his voice, Pryor moved to Berkeley, California, and hung out with such counterculture writers and personalities as Ishmael Reed and Huey P. Newton. And after a couple of years in Berkeley, Pryor hit Hollywood in touch with his very unique brand of comedy. Reed, last little bit of passion. We're going to get back into another clip right here live on the Record and Game Radio. He turned to film, starring in The Busybody with Sid Caesar and the classic Wild in the Streets, and released his first album, Richard Pryor. More movies followed, including Lady Sings the Blues, which earned him strong notice as Billie Holiday's drug-addicted piano player. And all Pryor, who in 1980 formed his own production company, Indigo, under the banner of Columbia Pictures, appeared in almost 50 movies, including several with Gene Wilder and the autobiographical JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling, which is an excellent movie. If you haven't seen it, make sure y'all go and check that out. Years before Eddie Murphy became the Clumps, Pryor took on three roles in the movie Which Way Is Up, which I have in my collection, appearing as a young man and his father, as well as the wayward minister Lennox Thomas. In 1983, Pryor was paid $4 million, an unprecedented amount for a black actor, and a million more than the film's star, Christopher Reeve, for his role as accomplice to the villain in Superman 3. For the most part, Pryor considers his films undistinguished products from the Hollywood assembly line, but almost the formulaic slop, there are black pearls of comedy to testify to his genius. And that is a little bit from the man, Mr. Richard Pryor. You know what I'm saying? It's going down real big. Got one more stand-up act, man, and, you know, we're just covering a little bit of Richard, man, giving him his just desserts today. You know what I'm saying? It's all about Richard. It's all about him doing his thing, man. We're going to go into a little old-school cut right here from the Bicentennial album. You know what I'm saying? This is Richard Pryor, the Bicentennial nigga, right here. Live, re-remember. Richard Pryor.
Come on! And P. Orr, Illinois. That's where I was born. There was an old man. Name was Mudbone. Was born in Mississippi, Tupelo. And in Tupelo, it's near Wamelo. And he used to sit out here in front of the barbecue shop, and he dipped snuff. That's right, he had a little can, Folger can, coffee can, and he dipped snuff in his back. That's why I know Manson ain't gonna get out of jail. As long as they make coffee, that motherfucker be in jail. So, you were telling me a story, tell you listen to him because he's fascinating. Yeah, he tell you all kinds of shit. He's been at great levels there. Is that right? He had a woman They love it very much. And the height of those things, because she's fucking around. And when I knew she was fucking around, but I'd leave home, go to White. And come back home, college seat me up. Don't know bitch in the wild piss with the toilet seat on. Well, I knew somebody was in the motherfucker. Oh, I said a little old trap boy's ass. Went to White Riley. Oh, I always did, you know, but I like to get a bud. So I walked to White, used to walk down Jefferson Street and fought all the way to the bus stop. Me and another nigga named Rainbow Johnson, man. That nigga could fight too, see? He could double his up, though, you know. My father was just drawn out, you know. Precise shit, you know. Nigga could do Yankee Doodle, you know. So, this particular morning I went on the White and set my trap for this girl. Yeah. She was pretty too, loved her. Sweet as she could be, you know, breast milk like carnation milk. All right. So I knelt the toilet seat down. Yeah. And I doubled back, and I caught that nigga trying to lift it up. I said, well, nigga, send your soul to heaven, because your ass is mine up in here. And she jumped all in front of him, you know, and knocked her out the way. I didn't hit her hard, I just moved her out the way. Like that, the nigga hit me. Now I'm mad, he's fucking my bitch, and don't hit me too. Real strong in them days, man. That's right, I was strong enough, just enough to pick up my pistol and shoot that nigga in the ass. Man, I shot that nigga everywhere, dude, boy. Everywhere that nigga grab, I shoot him somewhere else, make him grab over there. That shit tore his ass up, too. That nigga said, whoa, I got this thing. Nigga run all out in the street and shit. Too honored to die, you know. Niggas used to didn't die in them days like they do now. See, now you shoot a nigga, he just fall over. You know? Ain't niggas ain't made out of what they used to be made out of. You could stab a nigga 4 or 5 times, wouldn't hurt him, you know. Nowadays, you cut a nigga and shit on himself. My old partner, nigga of mine named Tunham, bad nigga, boy, used to fight all the time. That's what his favorite thing. Love to fight. But his mother used to fuck with him, man. He'd be out after hours. Spots we used to hang out together. This was way back, long time ago, around 1924. During the drought and shit. You know, when they had the great drought? Wasn't no cows and shit. Because the drought killed them motherfuckers. They're out there drinking dust. You know? That's how thirsty you can get. See, you motherfucker can get so thirsty, he'll grab a handful of dirt. Try to drink that shit, you know. That place is something else. See, when I was in World War I, we was in Basa. That's right. I was working in a hospital ward, and I probably grew a little Francis. And I worked over there, I was treating the boys with that mustard gas and shit all over. Niggas used to come from the front, boy, that mustard gas eat holes in your ass. See me? Nigga didn't have the mask on. I said, motherfucker, why don't you put your mask on? You know, he said, well, I don't trust these white folks. They may be trying to, you know, trick us or something, you know. I want the bitches to see what I look like, you know. I had a good time over there, too, boy. Wall to wall pussy over there, nigga. That's right, they love the shit out of nigga. That's what they used to say. Policy.
many minutes working out. I took come back here and moved out to California because I was going to get in the motion picture business. Come out here, was in the paper, said we want stars. Well, shit, I know that was a star. Natural born. Because I couldn't do nothing. So I come out here and went for this audition. That motherfucker's last name, you know, it's William or somebody, you know, a little Chinese at Kong, you know. The director, you know, he said, well, I don't believe you understand. This is a movie about gorilla. I said, well, you got the wrong nigga, motherfucker. I ain't no motherfucking gorilla, and don't appreciate you calling me up in here. And I took the script, threw the motherfucker down. Them motherfuckers had me out there so bad. Motherfucking Dirk didn't even get on the rug. Snatched me right out like that. And I had one of them banana knives I used to always carry. I whooped that motherfucker out about this long, had a hook in it like that. I slapped that motherfucker across the arm, and the motherfucker thought it was my arm. And he saw the arm laying on the ground, he started laughing. That motherfucker pointing at him, you know. When he looked over, seen his ship was gone, he fell out. And I got on the next freight train, went all the way back home. I'm back here to Peoria. That's why I've been here ever since, sitting out here, just bullshitting kind of. When you grow up, when I want to be
come down here, check this out. We got everything that a nigga need in the hood right here.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. Even though I don't go to it. MySpace.com/SFNVisions. That's just real nigga shit. Y'all can hit me up. Trey Folk, Wrecking the Game Entertainment. Part of time, smell good. This nigga here.
Yeah, terrible, bitch.
Yeah. Going now, let me give a quick shout out to Heavenly Angel up in the building, all my peoples out there in Washington, Seattle to be exact, you know what I'm saying, doing now real big. We got 20 minutes into the nutty news, man. This is We Remember Richard Pryor Wednesday, you know what I'm saying, going down real big. Got a couple more clips I want to play for my dog, you know what I'm saying, and man, read y'all a little commentary real quick, you know. Let me get a little, get your ass out the wait, man. Get the fuck out of the way. Somebody ever download a goddamn fucking weather bug bullshit? That shit get in your way, man. Get the fuck out of the way. All right, here we go. read y'all a little background. This comes from RichardPryor.com, man. All my Richard Pryor fans out there, go to www.RichardPryor.com. And it's got a whole bunch of all his old school stand-up stuff. It's got a whole bunch of stuff. You can see old pictures. You know what I'm saying? Just do your own little, you do your own little reminiscing type deal. You feel me? So, on television, Pryor headlined and received high accolades for two series. The Richard Pryor Show, which is on NBC in 1977, which contained one of the most talked about show openings in the history of television, and the children's show Pryor's Place in 1984. He also hosted the hottest show on American TV, Saturday Night Live, which fellow comic luminaries as Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, and John Belushi. After appearing in both dramatic and comedic roles in dozens of popular television shows, in 1991, Pryor was the subject of a well-received variety special, A Party for Richard Pryor. His work also earned him such honors as NATO Entertainer of the Year Award, National Association of Theater Owners in 1982, Lifetime Achievement Honoree for the American Comedy Awards in 1992, and the Cable Ace Best Entertainment Cultural Documentary or Informational Special, 1993, the NAACP Hall of Fame Award, 1996, and first recipient of the prestigious annual Mark Twain Humor Prize, in 1988, and he was the first one to ever get one. Wow. Black people be making the history, boy. Wow. I ain't never known that. You know what I'm saying? Big ups to Richard Pryor, man, for breaking down barriers, you know what I'm saying? And introducing us to, you know what I'm saying, both sides of the world, you know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of us wouldn't have known about Dan Aykroyd and James Belushi, which, you know what I'm saying, I do know about to this day, you know what I'm saying, Chevy Chase. One of my favorite comedians, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got to thank a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? When you thought that their career just took off on its own, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that had outside influences, you know what I'm saying, on their progress. And reading it. Starring on television was not enough for this versatile entertainer, and he began writing for shows as well, among them Sanford and Son and The Flip Wilson Show. And most notably, two 1973 Lily Tomlin specials, one of which earned him both an Emmy and Writers Guild Award. At the same time, Pryor earned recognition for his directing abilities. His first screenwriting attempt with Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles continued his success in this arena by earning him the Writers Guild of America Award for Best Comedy written directly for the screen. Pryor also tried his hand at authorship, penning with Todd Gold the autobiography Pryor Convictions and Other Life Sentences, which Pantheon Books published to widespread acclaim in 1995. But Pryor is best known and loved for his live comedy, where he presents the truth as he sees us in a hyperkinetic, expletive-laced, freeform style. His subject matter includes black life on the streets, the drug culture, sex, and other topical issues, including the many tragedies of his own life, cocaine addiction, tumultuous marriages, killing his car, two heart attacks, and a quadruple bypass surgery, and the famous incident of setting himself on fire, in which he suffered third-degree burns over 50% of his body. His visit to Kenya in 1979 was life-changing and resulted in condemnation of the word nigger. His abandonment of the word in his stage performances attracted death threats, hate mail, and attacks on his home from some deranged former fans. But he stuck to his beliefs, never losing any of his funny. And, wow, that's, yeah. As astute observer of life, Pryor gave voice to such marginal members of the black community as bums, winos, and junkies. Wino philosopher Mudbone is a beloved classic character. With Mudbone, as with all his characters, Pryor does not go for the easy ridicule, but instead finds the precious humanity in even the most despicable. His white people characterizations are offered with such good humor and truth that those mimic laugh the loudest. Pryor also incredibly real voice to such creatures as wild animals, his own pet monkeys, various dogs, and his miniature horse. And you ain't never heard none of that? Man, it's going down. Yeah, another news from around the world. And I mean the world. It's coming up soon, y'all. 14 minutes up in this mofo flipper. And, yeah, we get on into it. Let me get into one more, man, the man of the myth of the hour. You know what I'm saying? This is Mr. Richard Pryde, and this is off of the Wanted album. Right here live on Breaking the Game Radio.
Much more than take the picture, nigga. You ain't got no flash, motherfucker. Niggas taking pictures his ass off. Ain't shit working. Probably ain't got no film in the motherfucker either.
This ain't cool in the game, nigga.
One of them crazy motherfuckers up there.
Nigga still wearing a dashiki. I know he crazy. No need to fuck with him at all.
What? What happened to the hair on my chest? I never had any hair on my chest. What happened to your pussy? Anyway, huh? It's like gonna be a lot of niggers there. We better go. You never can tell. They might be having a meeting or something. Them motherfuckers sit in bunches too. You know what I'm saying? In case some shit start, they be ready.
So keep the car motor running. Don't worry about shit. As soon as the show's over, we run right outside into the car. Time's up, let's go!
And it's good to see y'all out in this motherfucker, though, man. I came from up the front, man. I saw 8 dead white people still had tickets in their hand. You know, and niggas had just run over there.
Move out the way, motherfucker. Shit. I ain't seen a nigga in 3 years. Fuck you.
You know how niggas just buffalo they way in somebody. You know, because white people get their tickets early. You know, 6-7 months in advance. Niggas wait to
2 minutes before showtime. And then show up to argue. What the fuck you mean you ain't got no more tickets? I'm blessed. Some white people get intimidated by this shit too, right? Sure, come in. It's okay. Go ahead. It's okay with me, buddy. Okay. Well, what did you expect me to do? Jeez, I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. And it could be related or something, you know? Some white boys don't play that shit, though, right? They'd be like, all right, cut the shit. Okay? Just cut the fucking crap. Hold on. You fucking ain't right, buddy. I love to hear white dudes when they be cussing too, Jack. They got some beautiful words, right? Yeah, come on, peckerhead. Come on, you fucking jerk off. Son of a bitch, come on. Niggas be talking about jerk this off. Yeah, jerk that. Jerk on this here one time. Grab them dicks, Jack. They'll be done. And walking down the street, be holding it. Hey.
What's happening, bro? Ain't nothing to it. I'm just hanging on, you know.
Even Andrew Young, he grabbed his dick, right?
Mr. President. May I speak to you a minute, please? It's very important. Excuse me, Miss Carter. I'm quite sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Bigger than a peanut.
White dudes don't be grabbing their dicks, so y'all don't grab your dick, right?
No, nope, never touch it. No, sir. No, never. I pee-pee with it. That's it. I never touch it. Except in a porno movie.
They be getting it in their porno movies, though. You know, in the corner, in the back. I can't go to porno movies like I used to, Jack, because people recognize my ass now. Hey, Richard Pryor, huh? Hey, my man, give me...
Never mind, bro, that's cool. No, that's freeze on a handshake. That's all
right. All right, all right, all right. I'm going to keep this thing moving. You know what I'm saying? Right here, this is We Remember Richard Pryor. You know what I'm saying? Wednesday, going down with your boy DJ Smell So Good, a.k.a. Captain Smell So Good, man. Y'all was riding down on the Starship smelling Pryor. We was taking off all the way around the world. You know what I'm saying? Doing it real big, man. You know, just taking the time out to, you know, recognize some pioneers in the game. I do this, you know what I'm saying? Every so often. And I think what we're going to start doing on Wednesdays is just do a We Remember Somebody Wednesdays. You know what I'm saying? And to start bringing back these late great comedians, artists, and, you know what I'm saying, people that just... kind of been fell off the map and forgot about, but did so much for, you know what I'm saying, for the industry and people in general, you know what I'm saying, and especially Mr. Richard Pryor. So let me give y'all a little bit more info about this brother, you know what I'm saying, going through it. Once again, shouts out to Heavenly Angel, my homeboy Duke, you know what I'm saying, for coming through the show, you know, everybody sitting back and enjoying it. And, yeah, Pryor's stand-up genius has been captured in four feature films, Live and Smoking, Richard Pryor Live in Concert, Richard Pryor Live on Sunset Strip, and Here and Now, the latter, also his 1982 directorial debut. His numerous recordings have earned him 2 platinum albums, 5 golds, and 5 Grammys. The release on CD of several of these classic comedy albums by Warner Brothers Records and PolyGram in 2000 has brought a new generation of fans to Pryor's timeless look at life. Coming soon from Rhino Records is a new CD anthology. But Pryor's comedy has more than entertainment value. When he received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Academy Award winner Lou Gossett Jr. credited Pryor as the single most reason for us making it in this business. He made it possible for us, black people, to be in this business on equal terms. Composer Quincy Jones called him a pioneer who made us understand the truth about us. Indeed, Pryor's material is so socially astute and confessional that he continually expands our notions of what may be perceived as funny. Yeah, he hit the ass right in the gut with the truth, and the truth hurts, but it's just so funny, you know what I'm saying? That the truth is right in your fucking face. 1986, Pryor was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, a degenerative disease of the central nervous system, but that didn't stop his performing. In 1992, he could still be seen live at the renowned Comedy Store in West Hollywood, making jokes about his afflictions and his wheelchair, and still painting incredible verbal pictures that stimulated the imagination of the audience so much they actually lived and felt the experiences with him. Richard Pryor may have been sidelined by MS, but he was so adamantly opposed on the use of animals and researching even his disease that he used his Christmas card to discourage donations to charities that still fund such tests. He's been honored by PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, for saving baby elephants in Botswana targeted for circuses. 2000, as the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus was preparing to open at Madison Square Garden, Pryor gave the Big Tops his first African-American ringmaster something to think about. Why, I am hardly one to complain about a young African-American making an honest living. Pryor wrote a letter to Jonathan Lee Iverson. I urge you to ask yourself just how honorable it is to preside over the abuse and suffering of animals. So, yeah. Yeah, that's real big. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, you got to go back to the 60s when motherfuckers ain't even, you know what I'm saying? Bitch wasn't concentrating on color of your skin. Bitch is concentrating on love, loving another motherfucker. I don't even really know how the fuck we got into all this, you know what I'm saying? I hate the black man, I hate the white man, I hate this man, I hate that man. You know what I'm saying? How the color barrier got put up. The Berlin Wall got knocked down for a reason, you know what I'm saying? To free the oppressed, you know what I'm saying? And to bring about change. And then how the fuck the damn wall get knocked down, and then we get a wall of color put up here in the United States. Yeah, that's something for you to think about. Pryor also crusaded against Burger King with Alec Baldwin. They sent letters asking owners of Burger King franchise to use their clout to get the fast food corporation to meet or exceed the animal welfare standards set by its chief competitor, McDonald's. Although his multiple sclerosis prevented him from performing in his last few years before his death in December 10th, 2005, from his home in the Encino, which he shared with his 2 rescued dogs, Homer and Spirit, Pryor's mind continued to catalog the events of his life in the world around him. Richard Pryor will never lose his position as cultural icon, and we can only hope that a cure to his debilitating disease will soon be found so as not to lose another soul that reaches out and touches as did Pryor. And his ability to allow us to experience our reality with the outrageous, profane, and scabrous perspective that only he imparted. Pryor's parents, Mother Gertrude Nee Thomas, was a prostitute who deserted him when he was 10 years old. She died in 1967. His father, Leroy Pryor Jr., a.k.a. Buck Carter, was a bartender, boxer, and a World War II vet. He died in 1968. He was raised by his grandmother, Marie Carter, Madam, on Peoria's this North Washington Street. She died in 1978. Pryor's wives, Patricia Price, was 1967, remarried Shelley Bonus, 1967 to 1969, then took a break, came back into Deborah McGuire, 1977 to 1979, then Flynn Blaine, 1986 to 1987, which he remarried her 1990 to 1991, then Jennifer Lee, 1981 to 1982, remarried 2001 to present day. His children, actor Richard Jr., 1961, Elizabeth, 1967, actress Rain Pryor, 1969, Stephen Michael, 1984, Kelsey, 1987, and Franklin Matthew Mason, 1987. And that will do it for the man, the myth, the legend. Yeah. What's going down? James Brown body is missing on CNN News. Uh-oh. Just in time. Y'all know what time it is, y'all. It is going down. This is the top of the hour, people. You already know what we do. You turn that motherfucker to Wrecking the Game Radio. Richard Pryor, I love you, my brother. You know what I'm saying? That's real. Ever. We'll be motherfucking living on right here live. Wrecking the Game Radio. You trying to stay at home? Yeah. It's no. It's Nutty News time. Nutty News time. Time for Nutty News. Time for Nutty News. Hey. All right. Nutty News of the day is brought to you in part by NuttyNewsToday.com for all your wild, weird, crazy, off the motherfucking wall news. You know what I'm saying? Going down right here live on the Starship Smelly Prize. Let me get my old artist in the background, Mr. John New, with that well. You know what I'm saying? We're going to pop this news off. Miss Heavenly Angel has given us a bridge report, and hold on, let me see if I can get that information. Hold on 1 second, people.
Bridge to Captain Kirk.
Motherfucker, I'm not Captain Kirk. This is Captain Smell So Good. Goddammit, why y'all keep trying me on my starship? All right, anyway, let me go on over here and you know what I'm saying, work these consoles real quick so I can find out this information she has passed on to me. All right. Y'all excuse me real just a quick second. You know what I'm saying? I got to walk over here real quick. Excuse me. Walk over here. This is my hallway music, you know what I'm saying, as I walk over here to receive the information, you know what I'm saying, from Miss Heavenly Angel, so I can re-report this back to you guys real quick. You guys are told.
Gone soft hey. On us like some schoolboy bitch.
You sound like a gay.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get the damn the fucking news up. Shut the hell up. All right, we're coming from the bridge. Says James Brown's body is missing, according to CNN's news. We're going to click on one of these readings right here, and then we're going to go in. Let's see. James Brown, soul singer James Brown's body has gone missing from its temporary crypt, according to one of his daughters. James Brown's body is missing from his crypt, according to his daughter. The remains of the singer, who died on Christmas Day 2006, of a suspected heart attack, age 73, were being held at his daughter Deanna's house in South Carolina while a public mausoleum is being prepared. However, man, y'all some sick bitches. Why y'all put that motherfucker in the ground any goddamn ways? Sick motherfuckers. However, LaRonda Petit, one of James's illegitimate daughters, claims the body of the papa's got a brand new bag. Singer has gone missing to prevent her carrying out an autopsy to determine the true cause of his death. Dun, dun, dun. Let's go ahead and get a little music started to that. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, hold on. Quiet time for you. Yeah. This is my dog Q Harper. You know what I'm saying? I can't sing like him. Ain't even trying to. So let's get into the Nutty News and see if it's made the headlines on the Nutty News. Big ups to Heavenly Angel for reporting that. Yeah. Austin, Texas, people. We're in Austin, Texas. Where Texas beefs up border because feds are not concerned about violence.
Is that right?
Huh? Governor Rick Perry moved to step up Texas's law enforcement presence along the Mexico border to handle the threat of spillover violence from escalating drug cartel warfare in cities like Juarez and Matamoros. A U.S. consulate worker, her husband, and the husband of another consulate worker were killed as they left a children's party. More than 4,000 people have been killed in the city of Juarez in the past 2 years. What the fuck y'all keep going there for then? Stupid motherfuckers, get the fuck out of here. It's going over here by Miss Computer Ladies Land, Toledo, Ohio, where a man is sentenced to 25 to 105 years. Yeah, killed in robbery. Yeah, Evans 52 of 833 Nebraska Avenue was the suspect killed Sunday at the Bengals Food Mart in South Toledo, police said. Alfred Lamar Evans was shot 3 times in the chest and abdomen during an apparent robbery attempt at the store at 21625 Airport Highway. Evans was sentenced to 25 to 105 years in prison for a series of crimes, but was on parole. How the fuck? You sentenced a bitch to 105 years, but you feel that this motherfucker is sane enough to go in and get his dumb ass back out on the streets. Boy, this show you kind of where we living in, people. Trying to tell you now. Shots out of sideline up in the motherfucking building. You know what I'm saying? It's going down. Y'all already know, smoking and toking and joking. That's how we do. You know what I'm saying? And reading the Nutty News, bringing it live to you. We're in Torrance, California, where McDonald's is Peeping Tom. Yeah. Police are searching for a Peeping Tom who detectives say has been following women into the bathroom of a McDonald's restaurant. After the suspect attempted to look under the bathroom stall, the victim yelled and the man ran off. What the hell are you trying to look at? Piss? You got a piss fetish? You want to see a motherfucking woman pee and shit? Nasty motherfucker, you. Peeping Toms. Where the hell that word come from? You know what I'm saying? Now Tom can't even motherfucking feel comfortable walking around nowhere no more. You know what I'm saying? Hey, fucking Tom, Peeping Tom. That is not my name. Fuck it, y'all. Let's go over to Dallas, Texas. We in Dallas, Texas. Police send 123 bags of illegal drugs to a store. At the Dallas City store, customers can find affordable furniture, bikes, electronics, and other merchandise from the police property room and other city departments. But a city employee was recently surprised to stumble upon a different product. 123 bags of illegal drugs mistakenly shipped over in a file cabinet by the Dallas Police Department property unit. If it was weed, it would probably only have been 23 bags of illegal drugs. Hey man, y'all left 23 bags of herb, man. I don't I don't know what happened. Shit. God damn, man. He put some old Red Shades, you know what I'm saying? Verse Simmons featuring Red Shades on the Bayou Round remix in the background.
Major surveillance.
Yeah, that's crazy there, though, because, like, motherfucker turning in money and shit. You know what I'm saying? How people find money and shit. They turn this shit in, like, the fuck you turn it in for? Man, that ain't no good Samaritan. All right, anyways, let's get a little racist up in here, people. Washington Township, New Jersey. All black people, leave the store now. Middle finger up, you motherfuckers. Walmart Stores Incorporated officials are reviewing security tests to try to determine who used a Southern New Jersey store's public address system to tell all black people to leave. Shortly before 7 p.m. at the Washington Township store, a male voice calmly announced, "Attention, Walmart customers, all black people leave the store now." Ah, man. Y'all motherfucker about to ever say no shit like that to me. I'll fill up a whole goddamn shopping cart full of shit and push that bitch out the door on y'all ass. You want me to leave, motherfucker? Got something for you to leave on, goddammit. Yeah, take that, bitch. Take that, Walmart. Sue that, motherfucker. Ah, man, that is too crazy. Whew. Man, I got to breathe on that. Can't even hardly breathe. Shit. All right. Continuing on, people. Please, during the Nutty News, if you have a hard time breathing, do not hesitate to stand up and wiggle about. Do the hokey pokey and sit your ass back down. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what it's all about. We're in the USA. Where a 16-hour flight, yeah, is from Los Angeles to New York? Damn, ain't they right next door? They were supposed to be taking a direct flight from LAX to JFK, but wound up on a 16-hour nightmare tour by air and bus of New York State. At one point, food supplies aboard the plane were so low that Pringles chips had to be rationed. 4 chips apiece, furious passengers told the Post. Damn. I've been on a 14-hour flight to Germany. God damn. Y'all motherfucker would have ran out of peanuts, bitch. I'm hijacking the plane. Oh. Anyways, we're in Randolph. Good old Randolph. Where I see dumb people. Yeah. $240,000 fraud. Couple thought they won $5.5 million. Sure. Couple has lost nearly $250,000 to scammers who promised them a financial windfall. Probably windfall because they was blowing smoke up your ass. According to police, the victims in this case believed they had won a large prize. They maxed out 9 credit cards, withdrew retirement funds, and emptied their savings in order to make the payments to this fraudulent company. How in the fuck do people... Because that's stupid motherfuckers with money. You motherfuckers stupid out there with money that don't know what the fuck to do with your last little bit of goddamn savings and shit. Bitch, you better keep motherfucking savings. Shit, go on trying to get a damn get rich quick. Yeah, that's for somebody else to get rich quick off your motherfucking ass for your ignorance. Shit. Late breaking news from the bridge. Let's see what we got here. Michael Jackson's estate has signed the biggest recording contract in history 9 months after the pop legend's death. The $250 million or 164 million euros deal for up to 10 recordings by 2017, represents a huge bet on the singer's continued popularity with a new generation of listeners who did not grow up at the peak of his stardom. Basically, they're going to be doing a Milli Vanilli, you motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Kim's Whimsy. Trademark. Have to say that. Trademark. Will get sued if I do not say that. It gives Sony the rights to sell Jackson's back catalog and previously unreleased tracks and soundtrack to This Is It, the concert movie Jackson was filming when he died. Well, when he was murdered, motherfucker. Don't even try to cover that bullshit up. You motherfuckers killed Michael Jackson for them goddamn 32 motherfucking unreleased albums or 50 albums that motherfucker had in his goddamn safe that you sons of bitches stumbled upon. That's why y'all murdered that man. But hey, don't let me put that controversy in your ear. Yeah. And you can click on the link and check that out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I believe it. Joe Jackson, all you crooked motherfuckers, fuck his whole family, man. Sorry, Michael. R.I.P. to you, homie, but your family is crooked than motherfucking... No, I can't say that. It sounds kind of gay. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about another man's dick, so won't be using that pair, that similarity. I won't be using that one, no. Let's go over here to San Diego, California, though, where two old school teachers destroy neighbors' garage. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Get it, old school. Tear that shit up. Two elderly women were injured when the car they were in slammed into a garage in the La Playa neighborhood. The women are retired school teachers who are both 92 years old. They live across the street instead of crashing into their own shit. Yeah, right. Firefighters had to shore up the garage, which was heavily damaged. Man, they must be from Florida. You gotta watch your ass coming down here to Florida, boy. These motherfuckers will not hesitate to crash into your ass. These old folks is what? Why the hell they keep motherfucking issuing license after 75? Bitch, when you retire, that means your license has retired. Fuck that shit. God damn. I'm just saying, if not even to that point, because, you know, I know it's 90-year-old people out there that can drive better than goddamn these raggedy 25-year-old motherfuckers on the street nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Without glasses. But if it comes to a point where you got to get trifocals upon your bifocals, goddamn, I think it's time to give up the motherfucking wheel. Yeah. Reedland, Kentucky. Dad called hotline after putting baby in oven. What the? I'm sorry. This is the nutty news of the day, people. I'm sorry. I almost got shocked. Police say a man accused of putting his five-week-old infant in an oven called a hotline to see what kind of charges he could face. Larry C. Long was arrested for putting his five-week-old baby in an oven. Casey Caskey says Long admitted to putting the baby in the oven, but says he doesn't know why he did it because he was blacked out after heavily drinking. Yeah, I have to hand out an award, people. Excuse me one moment while I hand out this award, and we will get back to the phone lines. And, yeah. This is for the guy that just put your fucking baby in a goddamn oven. You stupid motherfucker.
You have to be a stupid motherfucker to get fired on your day off.
You know what I'm saying? Man, that's all I can tell him, you motherfucker.
Lying piece of sack of shit, slut trash can, scummiest dirtbag, bitch!
Yeah, putting your goddamn baby in the oven. What kind of shit is that? Got to go ahead and give him a shot for that one, too, people. Y'all, excuse me. This is Wrecking the Game Radio, where we do all our stunts live. Motherfucker. Hell, man. Take that, you son of a bitch. Yeah, one more for him, people. One more for the road. How about that? That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Marlboro Man, where you at, brother? Oh, you want to talk to me today? Well, fuck you then, man. It's all good. Let me beat my homeboy up in here real quick. Y'all excuse me, y'all. Do 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 do. Scooby doo boop boop. Scooby doo bop 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 bop. No, I ain't the McDonald's commercial. All right. After this here, man, I got a new song by my dog, Deuce. Back in the motherfucking building, man. It's going down real big right here. Let me get a little, what you want to hear in the background? Fuck it. Let's get acting like a hoe. Acting like a hoe. Acting like a bitch. This is one lead featuring Plies in the background, a.k.a. Lies. You heard it here first, Wrecking the Game Radio. Pennsylvania, shouts out to Easy Rider. Go to www.bid66.com, man, and bid on your cheap items, you know what I'm saying? It's going down. Defamation suit against Oprah is set for trial. Yeah, jury will decide whether Oprah Winfrey defamed the former headmistress of her South African girls' school. The lawsuit contends that Winfrey's statements at a private meeting with parents, which later became public, and at a news conference, defamed the headmistress by implying she knew of the abuse and covered it up. Being that that is such a scattered fucking headline, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But if it's Oprah involved, I don't give a shit. Fall River, Massachusetts. Going over here where Dennis is accused of putting paper clips. Oh, who goes to the dentist? Everybody raise your hand if you go to the dentist. Yeah, my dentist is called the bathroom. Baking soda and toothbrush. You know what I'm saying? To my physician. And floss is the secretary, goddammit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they all work hand in hand. A former Massachusetts dentist is accused of placing paper clips instead of stainless steel posts inside the teeth of root canal patients while billing Medicaid for the more expensive parts. A grand jury indicted former Fall River dentist Michael Clare. Oh, man. That motherfucker should have his whole mouth replaced with paper clips. Take that, bitch. Yeah, how that feel? Motherfucker, you. Let's go over here to the nuttiest place on the planet. We're in the motherfucking UK. I don't know if y'all ever decide to visit there. Please do not tell me, because I will clown your ass. We're going to that goddamn nutty place, man. That's fucking Michael Jackson land nutty. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Never Never Land nutty and shit. Jedi Knight refused to de-hood at job center. Yeah, a Jedi Knight who refused to de-hood in his local job center was escorted from the premises by security stormtroopers. Chris Jarvis, 31, is described as a Star Wars fan and nerd, and member of the International Church of Jediism. Oh, the fuck, okay. Following his ejection, Jarvis filled out a complaint form and within 3 days got a written bird you would have got from me, motherfucker, telling you to kiss my ass, but a written apology from Branch Boss. Jediism was officially recognized as a religion back in 2001 when that dumb you get an award just for saying that shit became a motherfucking religion. What the fuck? Is you motherfucking serious? Oh, my God. Well, people, you heard it here first. You can go be a fucking Jedi, Christian Knight or whatever the fuck they call themselves. I don't even know what the fuck you call some dumb shit like that. What the fuck is going on, boy? This world is going to the fucking hell in a handbasket. Yeah, because I'm reading the news. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be telling you something. Man, let me just hit his ass for that one, man. Dumbass. Wow. Fucking Jediism. Hey, man, you ever been to that school, that Deuce? That church? The goddamn church of Jediism?
I don't get it.
You got any Jedi Knight friends? No. I wish you would come around me dressing a goddamn Jedi Knight with a fucking saber. I'd cuss y'all fucking ass out like this here.
Damn. You got to be a stupid motherfucker to get fired on your day off.
What the hell wrong with you? Get your ass out of here, man. What's up? That's like a nigga come around me, you know what I'm saying, dressed like George Clinton or something with diapers on. Nigga, we don't. Hey, that was that era. That was that era. Don't bring that shit back, nigga. Hey, don't be wearing that in public. Shit, what the hell is going on? Yeah. All right, people. Wow. Nutty News of the Day is brought to you in part by, once again, nuttynewsoftheday.com. Panama City, Florida. A vehicle towed while a woman slept in the back. And, yeah, they only fuck around down there anyway. A woman who fell asleep in the back seat of her vehicle had to use bolt cutters to escape from a tow yard upon waking. Yeah, the Bay County Sheriff's Office said the 23-year-old Indianapolis woman was sleeping in her parked Jeep in front of a Panama City Beach tattoo shop when a truck came along and towed her vehicle to a discount towing lot. Bitch, if you in a Jeep, how the fuck you gotta use bolt cutters to get the fuck out? All right. Back in New York, detectives' unmarked cars towed, which they motherfucking should be. The NYPD is regularly towing unmarked police cars, leaving detectives stranded on the street with no way to transport suspects in handcuffs. Fucking right. Two operators working for the NYPD Internal Affairs Bureau are meeting their daily quota, 4 tows and 20 summonses, by towing detectives who are illegally parked or who have no choice but to double park. Fucking right. That's what I'm talking about. Damn, I wish I could be one of them tow truck operators. I'd be dragging that bitch down the street, tearing that motherfucker up all the way to the goddamn pound, too. Shit, I know it's a motherfucker undercover car. What? That bitch wouldn't have a bump on that motherfucker by the time it got back to the pound. You wouldn't even recognize your shit. Every one of them, I'd tear them bitches up. It'll take about 4 hours for me to get back to the pound. I'm dragging this shit out that bitch. Alright, and that's do it for the Nutty News of the Day, man. You know what I'm saying? Actually, no, let me give you one more. Because I had read this on the goddamn, on this shit yesterday. And I don't think I did. Never mind. That'll do it for Nutty News of the Day, brought to you apart by NuttyNewsOfTheDay.com. For all your wild, weird, crazy, off-the-wall, motherfucking crazy news. And like I say, don't never believe what I say. Go and read it for your motherfucking self. You know what I'm saying? Going down real big. I'd like to thank a couple of people, you know what I'm saying? Heavenly Angel, Kimberly's Wisdom, Trademark. Yeah, never you got to say Trademark. Cyanide, you know what I'm saying? Everybody for coming up in this thing, you know what I'm saying? Doing it real big. And, yeah. Confirmed charges. My grandmother needs her license revoked. Hell no. Yeah, that's to the old folks, you know what I'm saying? Your ass get retirement age. And you can't pass the damn, because this is one thing. When they go, when the old people go in there, they get to a point where they don't have to, you know, they license be good for like 6 years. So damn, if you was 65, and then you ain't got the motherfucker take your shit again till 71. Okay, that's a lot of years in between there. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't taking care of your health right, let me put it that way. You know what I'm saying? Older people be motherfucking just, you know, trying to act like they need to die off. I'm going to be like that goddamn 99-year-old white dude that be barefoot motherfucking skin and shit. You know what I'm saying? Skin all on his back and shit. You know what I'm saying? The banana dude with the yellow suit on. Yeah, that'll be me. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. Age is in the mind. You know what I'm saying? And if you keep a young mind, then everything will stay young. Your body, your soul, your spirit, all that. You know what I'm saying? Even motherfucking, that's why these old crabby-ass looking females on the street look all old and shit, because their mind is so motherfucking wanting to be mature, you know what I'm saying? And but then they're not. They're really not. But it reflects, you know what I'm saying, in their body. Let the streets run them down and shit, you know what I'm saying, trying to be older than what they really is. But anyways, past all that bullshit, you know what I'm saying, we're going to get into a song right here. My nigga Deuce, man, where the fuck is the song at? Oh shit. Nigga, how the hell you playing your own shit? I'm from the city, nigga. We're gonna get into a quick song, man, cause I gotta upload a track real quick that was actually misspelled. It's my homeboy Deuce. You know what I'm saying? Representing right here. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to everybody from around the world. And I mean the world. Coming right back, Starship Smelly Pride. I got a little more news for y'all on Richard Pride, too, man. You know, we remember Richard Pride Wednesday. Got another clip to play, you know what I'm saying? Get some more comedy your way. Going down right like this here. Right now, I got a new song right here by Mr. Deuce. You know what I'm saying? New song. Tell me a little bit behind the song, man. Can't live with him. You know what I'm saying? Tell me a little something about that.
Can't live with him. Can't live without him. Some hood shit, old school, but new school. You feel me? It's old school, but new school. You know, it's the way it is when you come down to women, my nigga. You know, you can't just always degrade them. You know what I'm saying? You got to give them a little homage, and at the same time, a lot of them ain't shit. So, you know, a lot of them don't give a fuck about no nigga. You know what I'm saying? About what a nigga got. A lot of them don't give a fuck. They want to fuck just like the black niggas want to do the same shit. You know, but so what I did was basically I gave him a little homage. At the same time, I just told the truth. Shit, you can't live with him, you can't live without him. You talk all that fuck shit you want to talk about me, but you still can't live with him, you still can't live without him. That's your old fact. Feel me?
Right here, this is Deuce representing 813, you know what I'm saying, TAMPAFLA, Hillsborough County, Killsborough County, always on the map, you know, I already know how we do it. Click, clack, bow, you remember Richard Pryor Wednesday.
Yeah, can't live with him, can't live without him.
Coming right back out of this,
Breaking
the Game Radio, thank everybody for riding out with us. This is how we do it each and every day, live on the Starship Smelly Pride. 20 minutes. Let me go ahead and bring Deuce back up and give him a couple little El Comentos, Comentos, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Learning Language Tuesday going down each and every Tuesday, man. Make sure y'all tune in for that, you know what I'm saying? We have a good time. Learning another language, you know what I'm saying? All month long we studying the Spanish language, you know what I'm saying? Like La Manzana, which is an apple. La Naranja, which is an orange. Shit. What the hell? La Plantano. What is the La Plantano? I think that's the banana and shit. I think that's what it is. All right, here we go, here we go. Where you recording that at, Deuce?
House of Hits.
Oh, House of Hits did that now?
Yeah.
Bruno?
Huh?
But that ain't Bruno. That's the big white dude, the wrestler dude.
My Speedy.
That's what that is?
Speedy didn't record me, though. Reckless recorded me.
Oh, okay, but I'm saying that's House of Hits though. That ain't Bruno. That's that big wrestler dude.
Yeah, Steve.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I met him one time. He's a cool dude. I ain't never seen him wrestle back in the day. I don't remember him wrestling.
Yeah, he's cool. You know, a lot of insight on the game too.
Yeah, man, I like that song, man. That's a good song, brother. I think I got a better one for you, though. Check this one out.
Titties and beer. Titties and beer. Titties and beer. Titties and beer.
Debut single.
Thank God Almighty for titties and beer.
Titties and beer.
Two-legged deer. Titties and beer.
What the fuck is a two-legged deer?
Titties and beer. There's one thing.
Titties and Bear. Who likes Titties and Bear out there?
Yeah.
I like hanging around white folks, boy. White folks get drunk, boy. Them motherfuckers get fucked up. They don't get drunk. They get fucked up. Man, had your ass. Now, I remember I was at a damn college party. Look, feeling older than a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Come up in this son of a bitch. The only oldest motherfucker up in there, dude, like 26. You know, I had to ask him his age just to see if it was another motherfucker older than me. And, you know, he was 26. This bitch got a goddamn big-ass gallon of wild turkey. Drinking it straight out of the motherfucking jug in the middle of the damn floor. Of course. Yeah, no, smells all good. Mister, I'm fucking. I'm going to go ahead and party with the best of you motherfuckers. Go ahead and took the goddamn wild turkey to the head. Man, please. Listen, black folks and white folks, we drink differently. And one thing we don't do is take shit to the head. How y'all do the bongs and, you know what I'm saying, all that. You can take the liquor straight. Hell to the nah. Hell to the nah. I seen a dude try to do that shit at the little party we was at. This was with Mexicans. Can't fuck with Mexicans either. Don't fuck with Mexicans on no drinking. That's like fucking with Irish people. Don't fuck with Irish people on drinking. You know what I'm saying? White folks get fucked up. Mexicans can get fucked up longer. And then Irish people can get fucked up too long. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different, you know, just a different drinking thing when you're drinking with people. But I seen this motherfucking dude stand up, black dude, tall, lanky-ass motherfucker. They got the old beer pong and shit. He goes in and beat Mr. John Hero and shit. Okay, he took one beer. And you know they pouring this shit straight now. So they took two beers at a time. They pouring two beers at a time. This bitch done took like six beers straight. Taking it now. Go, 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 go. All right, get hyped up if you want to, motherfucker. Next thing you know, that bitch, they pouring two more. Eight beers. This bitch went down to one knee. Boom. We like, oh, shit. He's steady taking it. All right, they pour one last beer. This bitch done hit like nine beers straight to the fucking head. No bullshit. This some bitch stood his lanky ass up, did the Tiger Woods wave, his presidential wave, turned the fuck around, and what? Painted the goddamn wall of Picasso. Yeah, all his last weeks came up, goddammit. Shit, fuck last night. His last weeks came up. All on the wall. Everything was painted. Whatever the fuck colors, the alcohol, beer, and whatever the fuck else he had digested. Yeah, that was on the wall. And then he passed the fuck out. So, yeah. Just watch who you hang with, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody do things in moderation. Because motherfucker can't hang around me. And don't think y'all won't motherfucker make your ass pass out for smoking weed. Bitch, I smoke an ounce to myself. If you ain't an ounce to yourself type smoker, don't come smoking around smells so good. Because I'm going to smoke your ass under the motherfucking table. I ain't no drinker. You know what I'm saying? But I goddamn cloud your world up. Like what? Tetrahydrocarbonyl, THC, goddammit. Fucking right. Let's get into another little Richard Pryor clip, man. Shoot out your MySpace info and shit real quick, Deuce. Let the world know who you is. Other websites, excuse me. Let me stop saying MySpace because that's not the only fucking shit out there. You got more important shit to be, you know what I'm saying, putting your information on Facebooks and shit like that where you can connect with real people at least. Twitters and shit like that where you can send out real information. You know what I'm saying? Just not MySpace. You got a lot of other shit. I don't want to keep pulling on MySpace's dick like that because I ain't never met Tom and Tom ain't never did a motherfucking thing for me. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead, brother. No. Uh-oh. We've been disconnected, people. All right. Here we go.
Have any of you ever been to Africa, back to the motherland? There's nothing. I went to Zimbabwe. It's a new country, right? It's about 3 years old now. Because it used to be Rhodesia before they killed all them white motherfuckers. It's the only country I've ever been to. Black people kicked ass over there. 7 years, they killed motherfuckers, Jack. They happy, too. You walk down the street, they're just smiling. Hello. Oh, they don't fuck with us no more, no. I was over there with some American brothers. We had a good time. We were sitting around talking about four Americans. We talked about 5 hours, man. Talking about some good shit, right? And an African man asked us, who was talking, he said, what language do you speak at home? You know, we looked at each other. What, English?
Everybody speak English, but what language you speak when you're home?
One of the brothers looked at him and said, jive? No, it's just a nice feeling. I know how white people feel in America now. Relax. Because when I heard the police car, I knew they wasn't coming after me. You know, I just lay in bed and say, must be going after some white person. But over here, man, you hear a police car, I don't give a fuck how sleepy you are. You will wake your ass up if you're black. You start thinking about shit you did.
Well, they can't get me for that. Well, I didn't do that. Fuck it, I'll go back to sleep.
I slept like a baby, man, in Zimbabwe. I was out in what they call the bush, right? I was out sleeping. I slept like a baby. I just knew the Ku Klux Klan wasn't going to rush in on my ass. Right? If they did rush in, they'd be serving something. Over there, boy. And every place I go, man, people want to come to America. They really do. I mean, they start talking about America, make your dick hard for America. You hear them talk, man, you say, you got all that shit in America? I gotta get my ass back.
So you can eat 24 hours a day in America.
I say, yeah, you're right about that, Jack. If you got some money or a pistol, you can get something to eat. You can't stick up shit over there. After 10 o'clock, that shit is closed. Ain't nothing to eat, and don't be fucking around asking nobody. Really. Stick them up!
What you gonna stick up? We ain't got nothing. Why don't you go out the bush, fuck with them lions?
And see, you go out there where them real lions are. I ain't talking about them lions you fuck with at the zoo. You know how you go fuck with the lion. Hey, lion, motherfucker! Be throwing shit at it, lion. Be like, hey. You don't throw shit at them real lions, boy. And somebody always want to go up and fuck with the lions. Tourists always want, oh, George, stop here. Look at those lions. I've got to go stand next to them. Lions slap all the ass off of them. George be grinning and shit.
Want to try that again, dear? I didn't get that one.
We saw a lion kill a water buffalo, two women lions, and the male lion come to eat, chasing them away, right? And we went to take a picture, right? And he didn't like it. And he bent down and picked the water buffalo up by its nuts. He picked it up by its nuts, threw it over its head, turned his ass to us. You know, he was like, take a picture of that. And you're going to be asleep at night, man, and you hear, like, the warriors come in from, like, the village people, people who live in the country. You hear them singing and shit. Whoa, 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 whoa. You've been in the hotel and shit. What's that? You get by the way, what's the way? Oh, my, 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 my. There's nothing to see. Come on, my, 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 my. It'll be beautiful, man. And white people start asking you questions then. What are they saying? What are they talking about? What's going on? Rich, you got an idea? What are they doing? There's 100 of them. What are they planning? Anything? I like to go, shh, shh. Pretend like I know what's happening, right? Keep it down. Keep it down. I think you better get back in your room, sir. This could be it. Men dance together. If you go to a party or something, the men ask you to dance and shit.
First I say, wait, motherfucker. Oh. No, ain't no dancing and shit.
And men walk down the street holding hands. Dude say, you guys walk down the street holding hands. I don't know if I could get behind that. He said, if Prime Minister Mugabe asks you to walk down the street holding hands, you get behind it. Okay, I think you're right. I'll be holding my ass up. Hey, come on. I just think about, like, South Africa going to be free soon. That's where white people just got 2 million white people, 22 million blacks. They can't hang. Because there's like a billion Africans waiting to march on them motherfuckers, right? Look at this. African man told me, he said, we're going to ride the train to Johannesburg with my ass hanging out the window. We're going to have a big party. I want to be here for that shit. Only thing is, like, America helps them motherfuckers, right? We be sending them shit, napalm and shit like that. Help bomb black people. Fuck that. I don't understand sometimes what goes on with people. Because, like, here we are in the theater, we're getting along real good until we go out and shit change. Because we can get along real great for a moment, then we can't, so that's insanity. We must be good all the time.
Damn, Miles got froze up there for a second, people. Sorry about that. 6 minutes, Deathly Fresh, you're gone. And, we're going to play one more old Richard clip. And then, I'll say peace out to everybody. And that's what we'll do. Y'all hold on.
Cannot swim. Anybody else can't swim? See, there ain't many of us left. Most of us have drowned. I'm not bullshitting, man. I was fucking with my kids, and I usually be in the shallow part, just fucking around. And one time I fuck around and forgot and jumped in the deep end. And water has a way of bringing your memory back to you real quick. And all I could think of when I was talking about edge, get me to the edge,
guard the edge.
I was swimming in one spot. I'm making a whole lot of water and shit fall out the pool, but I wasn't moving nowhere, Jack. My kids were talking about, kick your legs, Daddy, kick your legs. I said, Edge. And my kids was laughing at my ass. I was drowning. They thought that was funny. They laughed when I had a heart attack. They laughed. I was in the front yard. They went, ha, ha. The daddy's so funny. Look, he turning blue. I had to threaten to cut their allowance off to get them calling me an ambulance.
My son said, oh shit, dad's serious. Don't motherfuck with the money.
Anybody else
out here ever had a heart attack? No, a motherfucker never admit they had a heart attack, right, Bill?
No, sir, I never did. I had indigestion one time.
That motherfucker's hype. I don't care what nobody tell your ass. Boy. I was walking in the yard and somebody said,
don't breathe no more.
I said, huh? I said,
don't breathe no motherfucking more. You heard me.
Okay, I won't breathe. And I tried to ease a little air inside of my mouth. I said, say, motherfucker, did I tell you not to breathe? You told me not to breathe. You told me not to breathe. Well, where you going? Why are you walking? Stand still, motherfucker. Okay, okay. Get your ass down. Okay, I'm down. Don't leave me. Shut the fuck up. You think about dying, aren't you?
Yeah.
Why'd you think about that when you was eating that pork, motherfucker? Drinking that whiskey and snorting that cocaine, nigga. I just think about. Shut the fuck up.
I just shut up.
You ain't shut up yet. That's when you put an emergency call in to God.
Please, this is emergency. Can I talk to God?
I'll have to put you on hold. And your heart gets mad if it finds out you was going behind his back trying to talk to God. Was you trying to talk to God?
No, I wasn't.
You was a lying motherfucker. What the hell was that? I woke up in the ambulance, and I was looking at what nothing but white people staring down at me. I said, oh, God. I done fucked around, wind up in the wrong motherfucking heaven. I said, now I got to listen to Lawrence Welk the rest of my days. But they worked on my ass, man. They saved me. You know, they say, though, you can save people. Like you see with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I don't know. Because if I'm walking down the street and I see a motherfucker laid out and slobber and shit hanging out their mouth, they ain't gonna make it. You know what I mean? I said, hey, bro, I don't think you're going to make it. Unless you can get somebody to wipe that shit off your mouth. Because you could be giving somebody mouth to mouth and death ease into your lungs. And death don't give a fuck where it goes. And you get two for one, that's a good day. Because you can't fuck around with death, boy. Death will take you away and forget it. Unless you John Wayne or somebody can kick death's ass. Like John Wayne kicked death's ass twice. Right, the motherfucker had cancer, kicked death's ass, open heart surgery. John Wayne just said, get the fuck out of here, death. I hope you never do, carry a small bottle of piss with you. Because you cannot pee when they ask you to in the hospital. You ever tried to fill that up? Can you turn some water on or something? You ever try to piss in them bottles? There's something too clean about pissing in them bottles. Your dick don't want to do it. I mean, your dick will look at you and say, why I got to piss in this? Oh, well, I ain't going to do it. You take me over to the toilet where I used to piss. I don't want to piss in this thing. Say, man, piss, please. I'll never be able to leave here if you don't piss. Well, I don't care. That's glass. I can catch some. You don't know who pissed in this. Right, and finally, if you do start, you can't stop, right? Me. Nurse, I need another bottle, please. They be so nonchalant with your piss in the hospital. Don't think we don't.
Just your piss, thank you.
I couldn't grab nobody's piss like that. I'd have to have some prongs and shit.
All right, I'm going to get the piss now. Clear the hallway. Okay, I got the piss. I'm coming through. That man there doesn't have the authority to be here. Back off, goddammit.
Then they put you in intensive care. They put you in a room and hook this shit up with wires and shit. You be looking like Frankenstein laying there. tubes and shit be all in your nose. You get to watch your life beep away. Like you hear the machine. If you hear, cancel Christmas. One morning I woke up, I heard, I said, ah! And I was in the hospital, man, and an old man died while I was in there. Old man about 97. Well, fuck it, you might want to live to be 98. But he died, and he was in room 24. I was in 25, he died. Dead. And I said to myself, I said, God, no mathematics. After 24, come 25. And I heard the nurses and shit talking shit like, didn't you check on him? Well, he was all right 2 days ago. Oh. Well, if you don't say nothing, I won't say nothing. I said, a motherfucker can die here for real, and nobody give a fuck. I start tearing tubes and shit out my arm. I was trying to get out of the hospital, and that dimmer I'll be fucking with you right now. Nurse said, you can't leave. You lying, motherfucker. I'm going outside and die in the gutter where somebody can find my ass.